Attention, you're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. The active ingredient in this program is common sense, which has been documented to prevent and even cure liberalism. Be advised that listening may cause you to lean to the right. The doctor will be with you momentarily. Here's your host, Todd Huff.
So the Democrats are going to come out of hiding tonight. I mean, I'm sure you know this, and I'm sure that you've been waiting eagerly in expectation, setting the bar as high as humanly possible for this bunch of socialist goofballs, two old white guys and a Clinton, Hillary Clinton, the nutty Professor Bernie Sanders, and sexy, sexy, sexy Martin O'Malley to take, not the debate stage, no. They are taking the town hall stage, where I'm sure the pontification, the socialist promises, the utter nonsense and gibberish will continue, and it will be a race. It will be a race to continue to give as much away as humanly possible by the Democrat Party to their voter base. Free education, freer health care, mandatory requirements for paid family leave. So it's almost like they're seeing what the other is doing. They're raising the stakes each and every time that the new candidate takes the microphone. You're going to give them 4 weeks of paid family leave? I tell you what, I'm going to do six. Well, you think six is enough? I'm going to do eight. This is the kind of stuff you can expect tonight. So, in case you didn't know, Town Hall will be televised by CNN, channel 202 on your, if you're a DirecTV subscriber. I don't know the others. I'm unable at this point to fulfill my obligations as a public service announcer and give you the exact channel CNN is if you have Dish or Comcast or someone like that. So I'm sure you're going to tune into this and see the giveaways that they have. But, you know, look, there's all sorts of things in the news. We've got Bloomberg, who's reported a potential exploration bid as far as running for president. Soda Pop himself, the one who is responsible for making sure that New Yorkers can get nothing larger than a 16-ounce soda when they go out. Incidentally, by the way, this is the sort of thing Ted Cruz meant when he said New York values. Now, I know that there's conservatives in New York. Ted Cruz knows that as well. But there's not enough, or we wouldn't have Soda Pop being able to implement 16-ounce soda bans, or excuse me, anything larger than a 16-ounce soda from being sold in restaurants in New York City. Obviously something that's of utter importance. And something that you and I, the individual, have no idea how to manage for ourselves. So he's looking at a presidential bid, allegedly running as an independent. I mean, who knows? This presidential election cycle has been, well, I mean, bizarre. We've got Hillary Clinton, the presumptive Democrat nominee, who may very well, in fact, be going to face FBI indictment. We have a socialist, a self-avowed socialist that is running proudly on the Democrat Party, on the Democrat Party ticket, I should say. We've got a candidate who has added virtually nothing of substance and value to the campaign other than pictures of himself flexing a six-pack, setting Twitter ablaze. We have on the Republican side, more candidates than most folks can count. We've got Donald Trump, who was laughed at when he announced his campaign, now has been dominating for many months, looks to be the clear front runner as we head into the Iowa caucus, which is just a week from today, mind you. You have Ted Cruz, and he's taken some attacks for his birthright citizenship issue, so-called issue. I mean, you know to expect by now anything in politics. And now there's third-party talk from Michael Bloomberg. The Democrats have been begging Joe Biden. They begged Elizabeth Warren. At one point, they were somewhat begging Al Gore to run. And in the midst of all this, we've got Hillary Clinton, more and more information coming out. About things regarding classified information, non-secure servers. In fact, there's an article that I read over the weekend in preparation, or it may have been this morning, actually. But nonetheless, the possibility is there that Hillary's team, including Huma Abedin, including Cheryl Mills, may have been getting onto classified government servers, servers that contain top secret information, servers that contain information that had top secret information that needed special clearance above that, where they were taking potentially screenshots of this information, cutting and pasting them, and just emailing them haphazardly to Hillary on her orders, incidentally. One case where she allegedly says to one of her aides, just take the classified marking off of it and email it to me. I mean, does this not speak to the woman's character? How we can be this far into 2016 when these things were known, maybe not email specifically, but the content of her character was known 20 years ago. By many people. Some people knew about her character 25, 30 years ago. Maybe longer ago than that. This woman will stop at nothing. And, candidly, she's no less a socialist than Bernie Sanders. She's just not as excitable. In fact, Bernie Sanders is out criticizing Hillary's campaign as being both desperate and one that lacks enthusiasm and excitement. Starting to sound like Donald Trump over there, criticizing Jeb Bush. Jeb, get some energy. You don't have any energy. You're boring. You're boring. Oh my gosh, this guy's like a dead fish. I mean, this is what Bernie Sanders is apparently essentially saying about Hillary now. There's no excitement there. Of course there's no excitement there. But what's the Democrat Party to do here? Go completely unhinged and nominate a self-proclaimed, very proud socialist? Or elect a guy, which this will never happen, he's at 1%, elect a guy that is even perhaps more superficial than the rest of the Democrats who only look at identity politics? Shirtless, sexy, sexy, sexy Martin O'Malley himself. I mean, what are they supposed to do? And the front runner the whole time is looking like she may... You know, I say this tongue-in-cheek because I still can't wrap my brain around the possibility that Hillary Clinton will really and truly get indicted. I mean, can you? I mean, truly. I don't care what evidence there is. I don't care if she violated. I mean, I do care, but in the sense of analyzing what may happen politically, or excuse me, legally, because of politics. I don't care if she did 10 times as much as David Petraeus. I cannot come to grips with the possibility, the true possibility, that she's actually going to be indicted and face charges. I can't. I think that she should. I think that she should without any question. And there's some folks out there that think an indictment is actually imminent. You know, the left has talked about Nixon for generations now. Nixon has absolutely nothing on Hillary Clinton. Nothing at all. I mean, what he did was child's play to what she's talking about. In fact, the article that I'm referring to, which we'll link to in our show notes page, at the very end it talks about Robert Gates saying that it's quite possible, or more possible than not, that people like, or countries like Iran, China, and Russia were able to lift top secret information, secrets from that the United States has from Hillary Clinton's private, unsecure bathroom server. I mean, we've been saying this, alluding to this possibility for quite some time on here. We've mentioned it for a while. But to hear Robert Gates actually say, someone that served alongside her, that she may have very well, by her and her team, by being completely haphazard with the way that they handled classified information, they may have very well given secrets to the Chinese, to the Russians, to the Iranians. Who knows? Who knows who else has this information, these secrets? I mean, this stuff is so secret, they can't even tell us what was in it. And that's the Democrats' front runner. It's hard to wrap your brain around. But back to this town hall. You know, I don't want to talk too much about this because, frankly, this is not a newsmaker. Just given the fact that it's a week out from the Iowa caucus. I think the timing, who knows? I mean, and then you get the whole thing. This is something that just popped up on the radar here within the past week or so. This was not a long-time scheduled event. It just popped up. In fact, I was watching CNN trying to gather news from the crazy leftists over there, seeing what they were reporting. This was sometime last week, and I look up, and Allison Camerota was talking about Hillary Clinton and the Democrat Party in the town hall. It kind of flashed at the bottom of the screen. Join us for the Democrat Party town hall, 9 o'clock on Monday. You know, the last time you'll see the candidates before the Iowa caucus. Okay, news to me. I mean, I've been counting these debates. There's 6 Democrat debates, and there was no mention of a town hall. Now, a town hall is different than a debate in that the candidates are really supposed to just be answering questions from the crowd. It's not supposed to be interactive. It's not supposed to be one candidate responding to another. I'm sure some of that's going to probably happen in one way, shape, or form during this so-called town hall. But it popped up out of nowhere. The Democrats tell us it's been in negotiations for months, since November. But I think they're in panic mode. I mean, wouldn't you be? You look up there on stage, you see 2 old white guys and a Clinton. You're the so-called party of choice, the party of diversity, the party that's been chiding the Republicans for forever now about not being able to appeal to minority groups like Hispanics or Indian Americans, or take your pick, women. I mean, Republicans, like it or not, whatever problems there exist from this. I mean, there's Nikki Haley that just gave the rebuttal to Obama's State of the Union lecture a few weeks ago. Female governor, Indian American. Her mother was an immigrant from India. Bobby Jindal, Indian American. Ted Cruz, father was born in Cuba. Marco Rubio, Hispanic. Carly Fiorina. I mean, then you can say we've got Donald Trump, businessman. We've got Ben Carson, black neurosurgeon. You know, people from the private sector, not lifetime politicians. And look at what they've got. They've got a guy, Bernie Sanders, who's been a senator or mayor. Was he mayor first? I think he was mayor of a Vermont town. And then he has been in the Senate for, he's been in the Senate for 20-some years, I think. I think he was elected to the Senate sometime in the 80s. Lifelong politician. Hillary Clinton, lifetime politician. Senator from New York. Well, First Lady. In charge of destroying the women that Bill Clinton was sexually violating. Destroying their lives in some cases. I mean, that was her role, her political role. Been doing that since what, the 80s? And then we've got sexy Martin O'Malley, former governor of mayor of Baltimore. This guy's up there talking like being mayor of Baltimore. Like the great things Baltimore has done. I mean, Baltimore is a... Look, I don't mean to insult Baltimore. Baltimore, the Inner Harbor, it's a beautiful area. But Baltimore's got a lot of problems. I mean, a lot of those were highlighted here this past year, back in 2015. He's out touting those things. So the Democrats are in panic mode, but they've got one more chance here to kind of buy off their voter base so that they can get votes for this at this Iowa caucus here that's a week from today, thanks to the town hall hosted on CNN. So anyway, you can check that out if you want. But look, there's a lot of other things going on in the news. And I want to share, you know, yesterday we had a really good sermon at church. And there's some things I want to pull from that and share with you. So we'll do that when we get back. So sit tight. We'll be back in just a minute.
Make sure your booster shots are up to date by signing up for our free monthly email newsletter. It's educational, it's fun, and it's free. Sign up today by going to theantidotoliberalism.com/newsletter. That's theantidotoliberalism.com/newsletter. For you, the listeners of The Antidote to Liberalism, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I've been a member of Audible since May of 2014, and I love it. I've listened to novels, books on business, political books, you name it. In fact, one of my most recent downloads was given to me by one of our listeners, Ben Carson's America the Beautiful. What a good man and solid presidential candidate. But if you'd rather check out a great novel instead, I highly recommend The 12th Imam by Joel Rosenberg. Of course, you'll want to get the rest of his books in the series after that, too. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/antidote. Again, that's audibletrial.com/antidote for your free audiobook. There's nothing to lose with this free trial, so why not give it a try?
Welcome back to The Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. Today is Monday, January 25th. By the way, you probably caught the NFL games yesterday. Broncos hold off the Patriots. Peyton Manning going to his fourth Super Bowl. Yeah, he went twice with the Colts, won his first, lost the second to the Saints. Then he went as a Bronco, lost to the Seahawks. That was an ugly game. And now he's going to play the Carolina Panthers, Super Bowl 50. His fourth Super Bowl, Cam Newton's, what, first Super Bowl, Carolina Panthers. Panthers dominated, by the way, the Arizona Cardinals. Complete domination. You know, I said this before on Friday. I had more interest in that game just because I like those two teams. I like watching the Carolina Panthers. I like watching the Arizona Cardinals. I like Bruce Arians. Of course, he has ties here to Indianapolis. He was Peyton Manning's, position coach for years here. Really enjoyed watching both of those teams. But yesterday, they completely were destroyed by the Carolina Panthers. And the Panthers did the same thing to the Seahawks last week. At least in the first half, Seattle made a big comeback and, you know, could have possibly sent it into overtime had a few other things gone their way. But big weekend for the NFL. Now we're moving into Super Bowl time. And Peyton Manning, Denver Broncos, take on the Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton. So, should be a lot of fun. I think it'll be a good game. You know, at this point, you just kind of hope for a good game. At least I do, unless you're a diehard Peyton Manning fan, which I know a lot of folks are going to want Peyton to win this and kind of ride off into the sunset, give him a chance to retire on top. Most folks don't get this opportunity. You know, you think back to Brett Favre and all the, you know, he leaves Green Bay, goes to the Jets and Vikings and all this stuff, but Peyton Manning could potentially ride off to into the sunset as a Super Bowl champion, and I know a lot of folks are rooting for that. And, you know, I find myself rooting for that a little bit as well. But I really like this Carolina Panthers team, so we'll see. Big game here in a couple weeks for the NFL. So, anyway, but before the break, I'd mentioned that we were, yesterday in church, I heard a very good sermon by our pastor. And there's just a few things I wanted to lift. This is not, I'm not preaching. I'm going to extrapolate and talk about these things outside of religion. Although religion is central to what I believe, it's a foundational element of my conservatism. And I'm not apologizing for that, but I'm not going to give a sermon. What I'm going to talk about is something that I think applies to the political landscape as well. So yesterday we heard a sermon about, we talked about the apostle, or Peter and Paul, or excuse me, Peter and John in the book of Acts. So Jesus had been crucified, he had risen from the dead, he had established the church, and then Jesus had ascended into heaven, leaving his disciples to spread the gospel, to start the church, to grow the church, to reach people as far as they possibly could reach. And this, of course, through the help of God. And God sent his disciples the Holy Spirit. And so Peter and Paul were emboldened. And the sermon first talked yesterday about the story where Peter and Paul were walking in the inner courts or somewhere in the temple, and there was a blind beggar, or excuse me, a crippled beggar. And Peter, this is where Peter looked at him and said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And of course, this cured the man, and the man could get up and walk. And anyway, there was a lot of boldness during this time. There was a lot of things going on. In fact, Peter and John were also kind of questioned by the Jewish leaders and some governing authorities. And this is where you hear the verse in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, where Peter says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved." So they were bold individuals. They went from guys that were terrified, that hid, that ran, that abandoned Jesus on the night of the crucifixion, to being men that eventually gave their lives, or in the case of John, were severely tortured for their very faith in Christ. Unwavering, in fact. In fact, tradition has it that Peter was eventually crucified, and he asked to be crucified upside down because he was not worthy to be crucified in the same manner as the Messiah, Jesus. But it just got me to thinking. You know, we have, I've said on here before, we, and this is collectively we, this is not necessarily you and me, although I think all of us have a degree of this. I've said before, the internet, Google, Bing, whatever, you know, search engines, websites, all this thing, all these things at your fingertips, all this knowledge at your fingertips, at my fingertips, at our collective fingertips. We go and we search for things, and it's like, it's as though knowledge, we're high on knowledge, but as a society, we're low on wisdom. And piecing these things together, and not just knowing something, but knowing something in a way that I can, that we as a society can do something with it, or even see the need, in some cases, that we even see the need in doing something with it. And I think that's the brilliance. I mean, God is a brilliant God. And I think when he decided to make the universe physical, you know, like we're not just spiritual beings. These are not just academic exercises. You want to believe in him? Show him. Show him by your actions. Show him by your words, your deeds. The physical universe. Deal with believing in him when you're tired, when you don't feel like doing it. You know, this is the proof in the pudding. Anyone can intellectually think that they believe something, but what do you do when you're faced with temptation and you know denying that temptation is better than following through and succumbing to that temptation? But you have a choice, you have the ability. You have the physical world in which you live, and you can choose to follow that temptation or to follow the truth of what God tells us and use your physical body to walk away from that temptation. I mean, if everything was intellectual, and a lot of temptation would be much, much less, if not completely done away with. I mean, this gives us the opportunity, excuse me. Oh, had to clear my throat there. But this gives us the opportunity to show ourselves and others what we really believe. The physical universe gives us that opportunity. But it also creates a possibility where we can exist simply in the intellectual world, and we can Google things and we can read it and we say, okay, check that off. I know that. I believe that. I understand that. We start putting on seminars about people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who stood in strong opposition to Hitler and to the Nazis and was eventually put to death for his opposition near the very end of the war. But we'll go in and we'll study these guys. And we'll hold them up as heroes, and we'll, you know, bring in speakers and have these seminars. Sometimes they're even multiple-day seminars. And I'm not criticizing these things in and of themselves. These things are fine. Knowledge is important. Knowledge is good. But we have to transfer that knowledge from our head to our feet, to our hands, to our hearts. And that knowledge, and think about this in the conservative political world, as well, and I mean this as a Christian as well, but politically speaking, this is what the Tea Party has tried to do. It's tried to motivate and get people, first of all, to recognize the problems, and then to be able to organize and to do something about them. Whether it's protests and rallies, whether it's registering people to vote, getting people to the polls. I mean, you name it. It's mobilizing. It's trying to influence. All of these things, but it's putting feet to these intellectual beliefs, these deeply held beliefs in some cases. But I think we failed ourselves here on a lot of fronts. And by the way, I'm going to stop and take a second break, and we're going to pick up here when I get back. But I had mentioned before that I am changing the format slightly to accommodate a radio syndication format. So there's going to be one more break, and the segments will get Well, the segments will get a little bit shorter as we move through the show. So anyway, I'm trying to work into this new format. So anyway, we're going to stop and take our second break. When we get back, more on Bonhoeffer, more on moving from the intellectual to the practical and into a world where we can actually live out what we believe and do something about it on a practical level. So sit tight. Be back in just a minute. I'm not a full-time podcaster, but I play one on this show. My daytime job is running a small business called Huff Promotional Strategies. We are a graphic design and promotional products company that helps clients with a wide range of projects ranging from logos and websites to promotional products and apparel. We have experience working with well-known brands, small businesses like ours, and everything in between. So if you need help with marketing or promotional products, why not give us a try? Visit huffpromotional.com/podcast today for more information, and you'll find a 10% discount code that we will apply to your next order. We work with businesses, churches, schools, civic groups, sports leagues. You get the idea. Visit huffpromotional.com/podcast today to learn more and to get your 10% discount code. That's huffpromotional.com/podcast. Welcome back to the Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. It is Monday, January 25th. Good to be here. Thanks for your patience, by the way, as we continue to, the show continues to evolve. So we're moving into a radio syndication format to where we can actually begin to, hopefully, get this show onto some radio stations. So that just means a few minor changes. I don't think it'll be too inconvenient for you as a listener. If it is, I do apologize. And you're always free to share with me any feedback, good or bad, at my email address, which is todd@theantidotetoliberalism.com, or you can connect with me on Twitter. Twitter handle is @commonsensegear. But before the break, we were talking about these seminars that churches put on. You know, I even think about, I mean, take your pick. I remember The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren. He had this book that he had written that churches were doing things with. We had Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace, I guess. The first book of his I read was The Total Money Makeover. But the point is, these things are all, they're good, or they can be good. I'm a huge fan of Dave Ramsey. I think he's done a whole lot to help, on a mass scale, teach people about personal finances, because we've done a terrible job overall doing that. But a lot of times, and this is not Dave Ramsey's fault or Rick Warren's fault or whoever, pick whatever study or whatever popular thing that there is going through, and it's not just churches, but it's churches in this case. This conversation stemmed from my pastor's sermon yesterday. You know, a lot of times we just want to, you know, check it off. I did Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. Checked. I attended seminar on Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Check. I read Lee Strobel's Case for Christ. Check. Not minimizing any of these things. All good things. But if it stops there, that becomes like the person when they're looking up, you know, maybe they have a question about something, they Google something, they read an article, you know, what is the electoral process for presidential candidates in America? Google that, figure it out, okay, understand it now, check that off my list. Or I really want to take the Dietrich Bonhoeffer story. Let's say a church, and I've actually know of this happening, a church brings someone in, the person is up there speaking about Bonhoeffer, how he opposed hardcore Nazi government, hardcore big government, stood up in direct opposition to Adolf Hitler, faced severe consequences on this planet. Namely, he was executed for opposing Adolf Hitler. But you have that situation where you're talking about something in the past academically. But here's the question. Let's assume Dietrich Bonhoeffer was alive today, and he was in the United States of America. Do you think Bonhoeffer would be attending these? And he may be attending the seminars and these classes. I'm not saying that across the board he wouldn't attend. But do you think he would be spending more of his time attending these classes and seminars? Or do you think he would be replicating what he did? And I'm not accusing anyone here of being a Nazi, and that's not my point. But we do have big government. We do have government that's out of control. We do have government that is promising things that is outside the role of what it's supposed to be doing, to where it creates a serious problem constitutionally. It creates a serious problem based upon, you know, the separation of powers. You look at the things Obama has done. I mean, do you think he would be speaking out and trying to motivate and rally the troops to oppose these things? Taking away of liberty, do you think he would have been okay with that? Do you think he would be okay with people facing large fines for making improvements to their own personal property? I mean, take your pick. And again, I'm not accusing anyone of Nazism, but my point is simply, if we have to figure out collectively to move from the intellectual to the practical, to move the information that's in my head into my heart, and not just into my heart, but then to do something with it, to vote. And we all have a sphere of influence. Every one of us has a sphere of influence. Not all of us have, you know, the influence of, say, a Rush Limbaugh or, you know, Ted Cruz and Donald Trump now as they're running for president. But we all have our spheres of influence. And I know we don't always want to talk about politics. I understand that. But there comes a point in time, especially when you're fighting for the very survival of the constitutional republic that the United States has developed through the Constitution and Declaration. And there are serious problems. You see the erosion all around it. You see the erosion of morality. You see the confusion of right and wrong. And there comes a time to stand, to motivate, to inspire. I mean, too oftentimes, our folks, those that believe, those that agree with essentially what we've been saying right here, we're silent. Read a quote over the weekend that I forget who said it. I can find it here. Probably not before we wrap up today, but someone who once said that his silence was complicity. He's complicit by being silent. And what would have happened if more Bonhoeffers had risen up? Enough Bonhoeffers had risen up to stop Hitler before Hitler had taken over Germany and started destroying lives and families. And again, not saying anyone here is like Adolf Hitler. But it's big government. It's growing of the government. It's the destruction of liberty. Every time government grows, liberty dies a little bit, to some degree. Sometimes liberty dies a lot. And liberty, God has made man to be free. And as a conservative, as a Christian, every time I see government step outside its role, into the role of, frankly, free men and their personal relationship with God through the church or what have you, liberty dies, and we move from a state of, we move from the state that's closer to how God created us to live here on earth, how the Constitution laid out for us to live here in the United States. We move more to a system of government that just leads to bad things. It does. When it reaches full fruition, socialism leads to very bad things. It ultimately leads to communism, and communism leads to death and destruction and despair. Complete loss of liberty, complete loss of religious freedom, complete loss of lots of things. It is the antithesis. It's the antithesis of how God created us to live. And that is an important factor. So anyway, I just, as he was speaking about this, and the disciples stood up with and opposed these religious leaders. I mean, I'm reminded of Stephen, too, when he basically says, "You're the ones that crucified Jesus," to this group of Jewish leaders. They didn't like it, and they stoned Stephen. But these men stood up with conviction. Men and women stood up with conviction. And oftentimes faced serious consequences, but what's the result? Or what's the option? The option is to live a life that's not the one that we can choose, that we want to choose to live. It's not one of freedom and the right to worship and to say what we want and to be able to protect ourselves and our families with guns or whatever you see in the Bill of Rights. I mean, those are just some of the things. But there is a lot at stake every time that freedom is eroded. So anyway, one more quick break. When we get back, we'll wrap up for the day, so sit tight. Are you looking for an alternative to employer-provided health insurance? Maybe your rates have skyrocketed, or maybe your employer doesn't provide health insurance. And then you visited healthcare.gov and realized how much of a debacle Obamacare really is. Why don't you take a look at what my family and I do for our healthcare needs? We're members of Samaritan Ministries, and we absolutely love it. If you're looking for a biblical, non-insurance approach to your healthcare needs, visit theantidotoliberalism.com/healthcare to learn more. And as an added bonus, my listeners will receive an exclusive $50 credit, but only when you complete the application on my website. Go to theantidotoliberalism.com to apply or to get more information. My family and I love it, and we think you will too. God bless. Well, welcome back. Now, this is going to be a short, very short segment. I just want to wrap up and tie things up for the day. Wanted to tell you that J-Dot has made a return to the podcast, to the talk show, and I'll be sharing a 3-and-3 that he dropped, I'll do that tomorrow. And for those of you that don't know what 3-and-3 is, or anything about J-Dot, it's a lot of fun. At least I think it's fun. It's fun at the expense of liberals. It's something that he and I have done for years, and we just occasionally put those on here just to have a little bit of fun, but we'll do that. I've also been working on a new parody song. Of course, you know, for those of you that have listened, many of you know about Jihadi Joe Donnelly. We released that parody song, maybe a couple of months ago. That one was released once Jihadi Joe Donnelly, my senator from Indiana, Democrat, supported Barack Obama by standing not in opposition to, but actually in support of his so-called Iran deal. And as such, we came up with a song called Jihadi Joe, set to a song that loosely is based upon the G.I. Joe theme song from the cartoon in the 1980s. So we've got another song that we're working on, and I expect to have done here, I don't know, in the next few weeks. So, as always, if you have questions, you can go to the show notes page, theantidotoliberalism.com. Just go to show notes. So, anyway, guys, that's going to wrap it up for me today. As always, it's been a pleasure. Have a great day. We'll see you soon. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. Your inoculations are now up to date. But since the disease of liberalism is ubiquitous and highly contagious, we need to see you again tomorrow. In the meantime, to help you boost your immunity, please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast.